So if you're ready for some good news today, let's turn to the book of Romans, and let's turn to Romans chapter 8, and let's look at and let's read verse 32, Romans 8, 32. He who did not spare, to think about that, his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Father in heaven, we thank you today that you are our Father, and we come before you to glorify you, to thank you, to praise you, to worship you. Father, we ask that you would open the eyes of our heart. I always ask you that, Father, because we want to see more than with our intellectual brain. We want you to teach us and work with our hearts. Open the eyes of our hearts to see the deep meaning of your word and your plan. Father, we ask that you would show us your love for us and make an impact on us today and empower us, Holy Spirit, to walk in the love of God. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And my message to you today, I always like to try to give summary. And the message today, I have struggled. I'll just tell you, I have struggled with a concise message. And so that's why I pray, God, open the eyes of our hearts. Because this message is even beyond my comprehension. How do you put something that is so indescribable into words? Mere words. But I will say this. Walk in the Holy Spirit. We've been in this whole series about walking and living in the Holy Spirit. And so I say to you, as Paul has taught us, walk in the Holy Spirit, giving thanks and glorifying God for giving us this indescribable, marvelous, incomprehensible gift from God. That's the message. Walk in the Holy Spirit, giving thanks and glorifying God for giving us this tremendous gift. You're saying, well, what's the gift? And what does the Holy Spirit have to do with it? Well, you know, the Holy Spirit was given to us by God to glorify the Father and to glorify the Son. The Spirit's greatest role is to glorify and magnify the Father and the Son. And the glorious love that they have for one another. That's his role. And then to work and to live in us. To exhibit that same love back to God and to one another. That's what it's all about. You and I were created to glorify God and to give him thanks. You read Romans 1. I want to assign you to go back and read Romans 1 again. In the very beginning, that's why God created us, to bring glory to him. That's when we're most satisfied, when God is glorified. It's not in all the things that God gives us. We praise him and we thank God for his abundance, and especially living in this country. Think of places like Haiti and people in other areas of the world. And Father, please be with the people in Haiti, the people in Afghanistan, and other parts of the world that are particularly suffering. Americans in Louisiana, be with our brothers and sisters there and the people in general. And even New York, there's disaster all over. And New Jersey and Pennsylvania. Have mercy on them, Lord. Let your love flow towards them and for them. For you've called us to bring glory to you by sharing your love with others. And not only in word, but also in deed. So please help us, Father. Help us to bring glory to you through love, because that's how you created us. To need you. To share your love, which glorifies you. And Holy Spirit, we're so thankful that you live in us to bring glory to the Father and to bring glory to the Son. That's our life. Jesus, you are our life. In Romans chapter 5, and it says that the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who he gave us. That's his job, to pour out, shed abroad the love of God. We'll come back to that. But our text is very, very important. It's one of the most profound and all-encompassing texts and scriptures in all of the Bible. Yes, even along with Romans 8:28, that God works all things together for the good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. But this is the foundation to Romans 8:28 and all the promises of God throughout the scriptures. It is an amazing thing it is. It says, let's go back there and let's unpack what God is saying to us there. And it all has to do with that riddle. Remember the riddle? What is the greatest, most marvelous, infinite blessing and gift that God has given to us that keeps on giving? There is no phrase or word to encompass this. But let's try to understand it a bit. And let's go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. Let's look at our text again. I wanted to read it again. I want you to study this when you go home, because it's no way I can really unpack all of this. But God, help us. Help us to see what you want us to see. He who did not spare his own son. He did not spare his own son. His only son. He who did not spare him. These words in this well-crafted verse that Paul wrote by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is filled with tension and expectation. What then shall we say? In other words, we're speechless. You see, before that, let's read the verses before that to see it in context. I already quoted verse 28. For those whom God foreknew, verse 29, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. All of these statements are stated in the present and past tense that these are promises, but they are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. They are so be it and so they are. How are they? Look at verse 31. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? What are you going through in your life? That if God is for you, who can be against you? But how do we know? This is the logic of heaven. How do we know? How can we say in response to this, if God is for us, who can be against us? How do we know? How do you really know when the chips are down, when you're going through your most severe trial, how do you know that God is for you? What is the basis of that statement? What is the basis of your hope? Here it is, verse 32. He who did not spare his own son. Not a stepson, not this son, that son, not one amongst many, but his one and only son, his own son. How do you know you can trust God? Because he did not spare his own son, but gave him up, the only one he had. He didn't have a spare son. He gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? What's that riddle? What's that question? What is the greatest gift? An unspeakable gift? In fact, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. I hope at the end of this sermon, you will come to see how indescribable it is and how indispensable it is and how it is the greatest thing. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously, lovingly, wonderfully give us all things? It's not just he works all things together for the good, even the bad. He turns to good. But how and why? What's the basis of him doing that? How can we be concrete, rock solid, unshakable when the storms and the hurricanes, literally, and the hurricanes in our lives, metaphorically, how can we be sure? Verse 32 tells us that he didn't spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Paul is a master tactician. He is like a lawyer. He builds his case. And there's a Latin word. It's called F-O-R, I think, I-T-I-A-S, something like that. It means arguing. As here, Paul is arguing as to why we should trust God. And he reasons from the fortie, or the fort, or the strength, to the weakness. He wants us to think from what is and what has been done to what logically follows that God will do. He argues from the greater to the lesser. What practical example? It comes to my mind when I was a little boy. My mother would ask me to go next door and ask Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so for a cup of sugar. You ever been asked that as a kid? When I grew up, you know, the neighbors, we all knew them. And she's making this recipe and she needs this cup of sugar. And I could have easily came back and said, well, I don't want to do that. And don't do it in these days. Don't send your kids next door. All right? But we did that. That's how we grew up, the community we lived in, et cetera. I could have easily said, well, Mama, you know, why? You know, how do I know that Miss So-and-so is going to give me that cup of sugar that you wanted, that you need for your recipe? And she could turn to me, well, son, you know, just yesterday, she gave me a whole big bag of flour and this and that. The only thing I'm missing now is a cup of sugar. And if she gave me that whole bushel bag full of staples and food, will she not graciously give me one little cup of sugar? She gave me all the rest. That's arguing from the greater to the less. In the same way, if God gave up his son, his only son, he didn't spare him, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? How will he not, what you're going through now, will he, you know, break down the walls that he would, you know, go and seek the 99? That he would recklessly, as some would look at it, break down every wall, every door to come and rescue you. Because he gave up his son. Are you getting it? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is that condemned? In verse 34. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, was raised from the dead and is at the right hand of God. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or hardship? You know, it goes on and on and on. No, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. How do we know, the logic of heaven, that he loves us? This one song says, oh, how he loves us. And I want you to get that today. Oh, how he loves us. What stands between you and heaven? You would probably say, well, you know, it's my sins. And I'm still struggling with this, that, and the other thing. Or it's my lack of faith. What is the greatest obstacle to you experiencing all the joy and all of the peace for all eternity? What stands between our salvation and our damnation? It's easy to think about our sins and our guilt, because we are guilty before God. It's not your sins that stands between you and God. For we admit we're all sinners. We're guilty and we deserve damnation. But what stands between you and salvation? And all the other obstacles. What is your greatest obstacle? It's not your trials. It's not your sins. You know what it is? It is the love of God for his son. I put it this way because I want you to think about this. Sometimes if we put things the way we're used to hearing them, we don't really get the impact of it. I'm saying to you that your greatest obstacle that stood between you and life of eternity and bliss and joy and heaven with the Lord is God the Father's love for his own son. It stands like Stone Mountain in Georgia, or, you know, Mount Everest. It's insurmountable. The cavern between our salvation and eternal bliss and glory, it is the Father's love, the Father's admiration, the Father's affection for his son. That's what stands in the way. Now, obviously, I am speaking metaphorically because it's been done. It's over. But I'm talking about, in truth, it is God's love for his son. Could God, would God overcome his admiration, his treasuring of his son, his infinite affection for his son? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. For all eternity, they had were bound together. All that affection, all that intimacy. Would he, could he, turn his back on his son? His only son. Many times, he made it clear. This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. At least three times in the New Testament, in Colossians, in the Gospels. In Colossians, it says, the son of his love. You look it up. The son of his love. Would he turn him over to be spat upon, to be lied about, falsely accused? Would he allow him to be betrayed, abandoned, stripped naked, shamed, beaten, nailed and hung up on a cross as if one was hanging a piece of beef on a rack. And even as if he were a dog to pierce his side. Would he allow that? Would he turn him over to his enemies, to his torturers? Would he do that? You see, Paul wants us to feel the tension between what he did and before he did it. John 3:16, God so loved the world. Paul here says, in verse 32, he did not spare his own son. That's the obstacle. The love of the Father for the Son. Jesus himself told a parable in Matthew. And I have to give it to you later. Matthew, it's Mark actually, and the times where he said, this is my beloved son, I turned the page too soon. This infinite preciousness to the Father. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Matthew 17, 5, this is my beloved son. Colossians 1, 13, the son of his love. But Jesus himself told a parable in Mark chapter 12 and verse 6. Jesus said this. He said, there was this master who had a vineyard. And I'm going to kind of paraphrase. And he had tenants in which the master's servants came to collect the fruit and they beat them and killed them. Then Jesus said, the master, he had still, after losing all of his servants, he had still one other. But Jesus is, you get the drift what he's talking about here? The Father sent his servants, the prophets, and they killed them, they stoned them. And he had just one other, still one other. When he says still one other, he wants us to feel that there's nothing left. There's no one left but him. Now, if you've got a lot of things, it's easier to part with some of them. But the Father has nothing. He has no one else. They've killed the prophets. But he had still one other. You feel it? Another. And then he said, this one other, a beloved son. So he's got. And not just someone he's distant from, but a beloved son. One son. It's all the Father had, and he loved him infinitely. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What Paul is saying here, what he's trying to tell us, is that for God to give his son, it was a Herculean hurdle to cross, to hand him over that way, to give him up. And with that understanding, let's read it again. Verse 32. He who did not spare his one only beloved, treasured, well pleased in, he who did not spare his own son? Not a servant, but his own son? But gave him up for us all? How will he not also with him graciously, abundantly give us all things? What are we worried about? Is it our health like mine? Is it our lack of finances, our jobs? You see, God has given us the Holy Spirit. The whole point of this message is to walk, to live in the Holy Spirit, giving thanks and glorifying God for giving up his son. If that ain't enough to shout about, if that is not enough to stabilize us and to gird up our loins and to believe the gospel. You see, I'm preaching to you the gospel, whether you realize it or not. This is the good news of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. So will he not? And that is a question Paul puts out there for us to ponder. He who did not spare his own son. Why do you read it over and over again? Pastor, I wanted to say again, and Holy Spirit, open the eyes of our hearts. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? God is graciously, whether we recognize it or not, we sang that song, Count 'em All. They're all acts of grace. It's mentioned in that song. You know, sometimes we think we are entitled to God's blessings. Graciously giving it to us is not an entitlement. It's a gift. The greatest gift. The indescribable gift, as Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 9. Think about it. Won't he graciously give us all things? Count your blessings. Count them all. We don't deserve anything but the death that the Father gave up his Son to experience. Oh, it's a deep, deep love. And then let's turn to Romans chapter 5. Because we're talking about the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit who empowered Jesus to lay down his life. And then we read in Romans chapter 5. I want to read the whole chapter really, but I don't have time to. Wow, so much here. Paul says in verse 5, and hope does not disappoint us. See, our hope is not a pinky promise. Our hope is not worshiping on a star. No, it is grounded in the Father's love for his only beloved Son. Hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love. Ah, what love is that? The love he had for the Son. He has poured out his love into our hearts. How? By the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. You see, he says in verse 6, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. And very rarely anyone will die for a righteous one. Righteous man, though for a good man, some might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us, the Father's own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Therefore, will he not surely, blah, 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 you name it. You see it in the scripture. You see that his promises are true because they're backed up. And he will surely give us all things. I want us to pause now, and I want us to sing a bit. I want us to think a bit. How deep is the Father's love for us? That's a song. We can sing it. We can let it saturate in our hearts. Then I'll come back.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He would give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of sin was, the Father turns His face away, and wounds that mar the chosen one bring many sons to
behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is He.
How deep is that love? What then shall we say to this message? What do we say to the Lord God our Father? We will say, let us say, that the glorious logic of heaven still holds. Since God did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, therefore, He will most certainly give us all things with Him. Therefore, all things will work together for our good. Therefore, we will be conformed to the image of his Son. Therefore, we will be glorified. Therefore, no one can successfully be against us. Therefore, no charge shall stick against God's elect. Therefore, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Therefore, in tribulation and distress and persecution and famine and nakedness and danger and sword, we are more than conquerors. Therefore, neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, we thank you for your great and precious promises that are backed up by your great, indescribable, incomparable love for us in giving us your Son. Thank you, Father. And let us walk in boldness. Let us walk in confidence. For great and deep is your love. Thank you, Lord. And we ask that those of us who believe that we will walk in faith, and those who've heard this word today who do not believe, change their hearts, Lord. Let them see how deep your love is for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. But on that night, when Jesus knew what the Father had planned for him, he spoke these words in Matthew 26 and verse 26. While they were eating, Jesus took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples saying, take and eat. This is my body. Put yourself in Jesus' place. For the Father put Jesus in your place and in my place. Imagine the reality that you are going to be separated from the Father, that the Father is going to turn his face from you. Imagine as you eat, as it says, he gave the bread, verse 26 of Matthew 26, to his disciples, that the very people he was giving the bread to, giving his body to and for, will deny him, will reject him, and one will betray him. He says, take and eat, this is my body. This is what the Father is giving to you. Then he took the cup and he gave thanks. He offered it to them saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood. This is my life. My life. Beloved life that the Father treasures, he's giving to you. This is blood of the covenant. All the promises of God are sure because the blood of his beloved Son was shed, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. In the Lord's Supper, we don't just look back. We think about the present, why we are saved, and how the Father, in his deep, deep love for his Son but over his son for us. He so loved the world. Don't put the world there. Write your name in there. God so loved Earl there. God so loved what your name is. Write your name. That God so loved you. See, this is personal. It's more than up close. This is real. That which is in the spirit is more real than anything. God so loved you. If you were the only person that existed, God would have given his son in your place. Notice it says, I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Imagine all that the Father sacrificed, every single person that the Father sacrificed his son for is at the table and is rejoicing with the Father. Not only will he say, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, he will say, these are my beloved children who I love just as my son. Oh, what a day of rejoicing that's going to be. Oh, what a future we have, and it is guaranteed. Because the Father gave over his son. We're going to Acts now. Acts chapter 4. Peter was in prison along with the others, and they were beaten for speaking about what I've told you about today. And they released them, and they made them promise not to preach in the name of Jesus Christ anymore. And listen to what it says in Acts 4 and in verse 27. Indeed, this is Peter. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against the holy servant Jesus. Now he's praying to the Father. He says, your holy servant, Jesus, whom you anointed, whom you loved and appointed for this, they did what your power, the power of the Father, his crucifixion was by the power of the Father. And not only by the power of the Father, and the will and the Father's will had decided beforehand should happen. It was not just Herod, the Jews, and, you know, Pontius Pilate, and this one and that one who handed over Jesus, who did not spare him. It was his Father. They did what your power, the power of the Father, and what your will, the will of the Father, had beforehand determined what should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand and heal. See, that's why all of this is possible. Because Father gave his son. And that's why we need not fear, because God is with us and he's in us. When we eat the bread and drink the wine, we are saying that the Father's love is in us because he loved that son. And he gave his body and his blood. Therefore, Peter said, stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Amen. Father, we thank you for the body of Jesus. For the precious body of your Son. And giving him to us and for us. We thank you for the wine, the blood that he shed. The life is in the blood. And you gave the life of your Son for us. And we thank you, Lord, for the blood that cleanses us, that saves us, that empowers us. We thank you for so great a love as this the world has never known. Thank you for so loving me, for so loving everyone you've called personally, and in a way, loving us more than you even love your Son. For you gave him up for us. Thank you so much. Thank you for your love and for your Son and for the blood and the body of Christ. Amen. So as we eat and the bread, the body of Christ, and as we drink the wine, his blood, let's listen to, let's even sing, thank you, Jesus, for the blood.
Was rich, I remember who I was. I was lost, I was blind, I was running out of time. Sin separated, the breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owe. Broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness into glorious light. Took my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. And now death has no sting, and life has no end. drawn me from the darkness into glorious light. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Was the blood applied?